Grace and peace, everyone. I am Pastor Dave, here with Pastor Steve, and welcome to Faith Talk, a worship companion podcast from the West Toledo Parish here in Toledo, Ohio. During our episode today, we will begin our deeper look at our Lenten sermon series, Rabbi Jesus.
Yeah, and today we're looking at Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31.
Yes.
It's the story of the rich young man. What must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven?
Oh, yes. A good classic reading where, you know, Jesus goes on, and a lot of people, I think, interpret this as God hates rich people. And I'm like, no, I don't. Jesus doesn't hate this young rich ruler. Scripture actually says he looks on him with love.
He looks on him with love. Yeah. And Jesus comes up. It's interesting because he names stuff from the Ten Commandments, but it's only the second table, right? The first table is the relationship with God, but this is everything he mentions is the relationship with the neighbor.
Mm-hmm. How have you been taking care of all those people around you there, young rich guy?
And he says, check, done all that stuff. Mm-hmm. No problem.
There was this one elderly person that I met years ago. I helped them. Okay, check that, right? Yeah, there's a kid over here. I checked that.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, I haven't done any of the do-nots.
That's right. I haven't stolen. I don't need to steal. I'm too fabulously wealthy. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't born false witness or anything. So he's like, I'm good with all that. And he says, what now? And Jesus says, if you would be perfect.
Yeah.
Which is a big if, right?
Yeah.
Get rid of everything you own and follow me.
Which, funny enough, brings us back to that relationship with God, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because in your sermon, you went through the whole trust.
Yeah, we focused.
That God can provide.
Yeah, so the listeners of our podcast, if that is where you get your Sunday sermon from, then you will hear what I preached over at Epiphany, where we focused heavily on what Christ says, the one thing that you lack, because apparently he has everything else in spades. But he's missing this one big thing, and that's trust, right? So we went backwards and we, you know, illustrated how whenever we see the word faith, we are to mentally flip that word to trust, right? I have faith in God. I trust in God. I have faith that Christ will fulfill the promises made. I trust that Christ will fulfill the promises. And one of those being provide. So I have faith that God will provide for me. Well, I trust that God will provide. And the young rich ruler, realizing that where his trust truly rested in was not at the Savior of whose feet he came to.
Right. Yeah. His trust is in his resources, in his wealth, right?
And rightly so. I think that's how the world engineers us in that direction.
Well, it definitely culturally. Yeah. Especially in the United States of America, we are very materialistically oriented, and we're, you know, swamped with all this stuff about how much money you need and how much things cost, and people talking about, you know, need and all that. But I think what's really happening here is this relationship with your belongings, you know, it's hard for us because, yeah, we do put our trust in that. And we tend to be focused quite a bit on acquisition and holding on to things, you know.
Yeah.
And over here, I talked about, I've come across this lady called Marie Kondo.
Oh, yeah.
She's on Netflix and she's on YouTube and all sorts of places. And she's an expert in tidying, has spent her whole life in tidying. And it's interesting because when you watch it, it is a lot about people's relationship to their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because we acquire so much stuff. And how difficult people find it to let go of stuff. You know, we have all different sorts of reasons for hanging on to stuff. We might need it someday. You know, we have emotional attachments to stuff. Our sense of self can be wrapped up in what kind of stuff we have or how much stuff we have. We have all sorts of social symbolism that happens with what we wear and,
yep.
and how we wear it. So there's all this attachment that we put on stuff that even goes beyond the stuff itself. It's the symbolism
mm-hmm.
or the signals that I'm sending to the rest of the world.
it's the connotation.
Yeah.
Not the denotation.
So it was fascinating to watch people go through this because she's all about you got to go at it and you got to do it within a certain period of time. I started reading her book. And what she says is if you do it just a little bit at a time, you just think, you're going to, you won't change. Because what it really changed, what really needed is a change of your mindset.
Yeah.
Which is a really hard thing to get at, right?
Yeah.
She's really, over the years, she's gotten down to the psychological aspect of what it takes for people to change,
mm-hmm.
And to make this change from being a person who's sloppy or hoarding or whatever else it is, you have to be able to see a contrast. And that seems to be your big thing. If you really put your energy and focus into it once in your life, then you won't go back because you'll see the stark difference
yeah.
between the before and the after. And then to maintain that, it becomes part of what you want, but of what you aspire to,
yeah.
right? So I took this one more step. I did the step they teach you not to do in seminary because it's what they used to do in medieval times all the time, and take the step of allegory.
Mm.
So I started talking about, what are the things that we hold on to spiritually?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If we thought of this Lent time as our time for tidying up our souls, what would that look like? Right. And so the first thing she talks about is having a commitment to the process, and Lent provides that perfect opportunity for us to do that.
It does.
Right. And then she has the sequence that she goes through for categories. But so the first one is clothing always.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to gather all your clothing and pile it up on the floor. And then you take each item by subcategories, but take each item, you hold it, and you say, does this bring me joy? And so you have a throwaway pile, you have a sell or giveaway pile, you have different piles. And it's interesting that she gets to the place where people aren't just supposed to keep stuff because it's functional or they might need it again someday with all those other reasons. It's
yeah.
it's just this idea that your clothes have this energy for you. And it's getting used to this idea that even if you liked it once, it might have served its purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Letting go of things that have served their purpose already without guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is this idea of we don't want to waste anything.
Yeah.
And according to her process, that's a different way of thinking. So I was thinking about, well, if we were to visualize... because after you make the commitment, then the first thing you're supposed to do is visualize what daily life would be ideally
mm-hmm.
if you didn't have this mess in front of you or mm-hmm. whatever. So for us, what would it look like if we were to, there's that old phrase, what would Jesus do? But and what I want to think through is, what would Dave's daily life look like? What would Dave's daily life look like if he were the best version of himself in the image of Jesus Christ?
Oh, man, definitely not as much sleeping. I've been trying to catch up on my sleep deficit lately. And, that's a good question. That is a good, sobering question.
You know, and it's visualizing things like, well, you've often talked about road rage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would Dave look like when somebody cuts him off?
Yeah.
Right? Yep. What would Dave look like if somebody were following him too close? If he were living the best version of himself in the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I often feel like it would be a movie montage thing where there's always sun shining. I'm wearing a nice pressed baby blue shirt. I'm just happy and I'm waving and smiling at everybody. They cut me off. They flick me off. I'm just waving like, ah, yes. Have a wonderful day.
See you at the next stoplight.
Yes. If you need a dollar to cover the gas you just wasted passing me, let me know. Obviously something that will never happen because I'm way too flawed for
that. Oh, no. I think that's what she says, because a lot of people, you know, they map it out to a character flaw.
Yeah.
Is the reason that they say, well, I'm just a messy person. There's nothing I can do about that. And that's what this time limit is all about, is getting past that idea that it's just who you are. If you see yourself in that environment, mm-hmm. it can be life-changing for people. Sometimes we let ourselves off. I mean, that's Jesus is doing. If you would be perfect, let go of all your stuff and follow me, you know, and it's that same thing. So, Dave, if you could live out your best part of yourself for the season of Lent, to not have road rage. If you were to give up road rage for the season of Lent.
Don't take away my best friend, man. Don't do that.
What? So what are the things that you might lift up to your face and you say, well, it's time for me to discard this?
Like that's connected to my road rage?
Yes.
Well, definitely, I need to let people be people, right?
Yeah, right.
Because usually my road rage comes from an idealized interpretation of what things should be.
Okay.
Right? Because I always look, I'll use the speed limit. And
yeah.
I even said this the other day to Amy. I'm like, huh, isn't it weird that I'm going 5 miles above the speed limit and I'm still getting passed?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, I have this idealized sense of that is there for a reason. We should abide by that. And the Ohio Revised Code says I can go 5 miles above that posted speed limit and 3 miles above in a school zone or a construction zone limit.
So you might be changing the intent of the law, but okay.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
You're looking for the limits of the law, intent of the law.
But I think that would probably be the first step.
So
like
part of it
idealized.
Is letting go of judgment.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because in some ways you're taking on this thing that says that I have the right to judge, or my judgment's going to do. I mean, well, your judgment.
I'm validating myself because I'm abiding by this law and you're not.
Right. So you're judging others.
Where's that darn police officer?
You're judging others by the metric that you use for yourself, which seems like justice, but it's prideful.
It's vainglorious, yes.
It's vainglorious and prideful.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you'd have to let go of pride and vainglory to say that, well, those people are going to have to answer for their choices. The only thing I have control over are my choices.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I really do, from a psychological perspective, I really enjoy hearing people when they say, well, you made me do that.
Right.
And I'm
nobody
like,
can make you do squat.
Yeah, I'm like, nope, that is a fallacy, my
it
dear
is.
Friend, because
right.
that did not make you do that. You reacted in this way
right.
to that. And I do that all the time because I will admit, you know, there have been times I don't know if I've hit the right amount of caffeine or the right amount of sugar or whatever it is. Maybe I just had a really good day or the spirit's just with me. But there have been moments, and Amy's even witnessed it, where we have been driving in stressful circumstances and I'm like, this is great.
I'm cool.
We're getting where we're going to safely. I'm being safe. Everything's fine. And she's just like, how are you maintaining your composure right now? Who are you? What have you done with my husband? I'm like, I don't know. I just don't feel angry right now.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah. I'm just like, so I don't know. Maybe I got a hug from Amy or a kiss or something. I don't know. But it was.
So that tells you it's possible.
It totally is. It totally is. And honestly, what was it? I'm trying to think of what was the phrase? It was from C.S. Lewis. What was it? I sat down. Oh, shoot. Now I can't remember what it is. So all listeners, please forgive me because I'm going to really botch this up if you know C.S. Lewis better than I do. But he said something to the effect of, I had to sit with my friend grief long enough until she told me her name was anger.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of times the emotions that we express are not the emotions. It's something else going on, and it's manifesting in a different way. And
yeah.
It's like, I'm not... When I explode in my road rage, I'm not like angry the same way that I am when
But you
I'm
probably are
angry.
Falling into wrath.
Yeah, I think it's a different beast that I'm reacting into than the anger I feel like when
usually frustration expresses itself as anger in a lot of ways.
So it's like there's something else, right?
So what does that gain you?
It probably gains me a couple extra points on my blood pressure.
Yeah.
Right. Which isn't healthy.
Yeah. I mean,
an extra trip to the doctor. Probably.
You know, I think what Marie Kondo is asking people to aspire to is a sense of joy, which is different than just happy. I mean, let's be honest with that. But at the same time, I think a lot of times what Christ has us appeal to is a sense of peace, a sense of well-being in who we are and what we do, regardless of if it's something painful or something that's difficult or we're going through trials. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of internal peace, mm-hmm. you know, to be in touch with your authentic self, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's coming to that understanding of my wrath is not helping me with peace.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? My judgment doesn't change anything because they can't even hear me. The significance of flipping somebody off is probably not helpful for them or you.
Yeah.
You know, it serves no purpose, whereas as if you get off kilter, then all of a sudden we're in a space where I can start reacting in other ways, right? All of a sudden I'm not driving as carefully as I might otherwise. I might make more mistakes. You know, some of it can be fear, I think, sometimes when somebody cuts you off. I mean, part of what we're responding to is a visceral fear.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that leads our anxiety. It tips us over. And this is where we get to this idea of what fasting is all about. Because fasting, the reason that prayer and fasting has always been talked about in terms of Lent is fasting kind of brings all of our character flaws to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So when we've all been hangry before,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure have.
And so when you fast, that's one way to deal with your anger, because now you're in a controlled situation. And if you go into it in the attitude of prayer and you say, okay, I know I'm going to get hangry, but I want to manage it. I want to learn how to manage it. I want to build those spiritual muscles mm-hmm. that I can deal with my anger. So I'm fasting. I know I'm going to go there, but in prayer, I might be able to start learning how to deal with my hangriness, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the purpose of prayer, because we aren't our best self when we're fasting oftentimes.
Yeah.
And so it makes us look at and deal with those things that wreck our peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, Dave, do you think you can give up road rage for Lent?
You know, I was thinking about that just as we were going through this conversation, and I was, you know, I was reflecting back on a lot of my psychological profiling
yeah.
that was done. And if we look at my Enneagram, I'm a 9, so I'm a peaceful pastor.
Okay.
And I remember, like, you know, there was a point in my life, there was a time, there was a big stretch of time where I had managed to overcome my anger. When I was a young, angsty teenager, I had anger issues then.
Yeah.
And then I went through a long stretch where I was very much in control. I prided myself on my control of my emotions. And then I ended up living not just for myself, but I started living for my wife, and then I started living for my children. And then I noticed that my anger was coming back. And I really wonder, now that we're reflecting on this, I don't think it's anger at all. I think it's more associated with things like fear. And my anger is more of a get my adrenaline pumping response to factors that I've perceived that are outside of my control that might actually impact the ones that I truly care about. Because in hindsight, I still am prone to road rage even when I drive by myself, but I find myself much more, you know, volatile in my response to other drivers when I have other people in the car with me. So I think I need to go deeper. I want to say yes, I think I can, and I'm willing to try. I am doing a modified fast for Lent right now. For example, right now I'm very hungry.
Yeah.
I'm very hungry. I'm willing to give that a shot because I remember myself when I wasn't carrying around anger.
Yeah.
You know, or just any negative emotion really, and where I was more of a peaceful person.
Yeah.
And I would like to have coffee with that Dave again. So I think I might give this a shot. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I might try to declutter myself.
Yeah. Cause, Thomas Keating says that our negative emotions, we're supposed to reflect on our negative emotions because they're signposts for us back to our peace.
Yeah.
Right. So whatever negative emotions you're having, that's a point for examination. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just like the turn you made right there is say, okay, anger, yeah, but where's that anger coming from? Is it frustration? Is it fear? Is it I'm trying to control something that's not within my control? Exactly where's that coming from, right? And as you dig deeper, maybe you can get to the source and maybe release it. It's kind of like holding up the piece of clothing and saying, is this serving me? Does this bring me joy anymore? Yeah. Or am I never going to fit back into this shirt?
You know,
I haven't worn this shirt for 5 years. I'm probably not going to wear it next week.
Amy and I, when we moved into our current home, we got a larger closet because in our old house, I had a really small one. She had a decent sized one, but now we have a shared closet and it's a little bit bigger. It's technically, I guess it's considered a walk-in. But I'm always used to having a dresser and, I think I've convinced her to use more dressers as well.
Yeah.
Just hanging closet space. But we realized as we were getting out all of our clothes, we ended up going to IKEA and now we have a wall of dresser. Like, no lie, because you can customize the IKEA builds. So I literally have, it's like 12 feet long.
Oh my goodness.
And like almost 6 feet tall of just dressers. And I was like, and you know what? Do you want to know something?
I still
have more stuff I want to put in the dresser.
Right.
So I really do think, I think I need to probably sit down and be like, yes, I...
It's a form of gluttony or greed because what happens is, that's another wonderful thing that she said, you know, people that are constantly looking to organize, if you're organizer addicted, it probably means you got a problem.
Well, and I think I have a problem because I don't want to even tackle an organizing project unless I go buy more stuff to organize the stuff that I already have. I need to buy an organizer to put my organizer in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
I highly recommend Marie Kondo.
Yeah, you know, I actually, you know, having a love in my heart for Japanese culture, I've known of her for a long time. I watched a couple of her shows, but never sat down and actually read a book. I bought a book.
Did you?
For someone.
But you never read it.
But I didn't read it. Because they have, you know, they're hoarding much more stuff than even I do. So I'm like, yeah. Oh, here you go. I'm not a hoarder, but you are. Here, I have that book. I should have read that book first. But, and you know, in reflection on that too, a lot of it, upon reflection is more of a what if scenario, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, what if I can wear this again? And I'm like, but let's be realistic.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic. It served its purpose back then.
Right.
And honestly, if I get rid of it now and then I find myself back in that size, I now have the opportunity to reward myself
right.
for a job well done. So yeah, let's
and,
get
and it might even
it.
Be in style.
Yeah, which none of my clothes back then were. So yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'll need to do we should do a new sermon series, Styling with Jesus.
Ooh, there you go. Styling with Jesus.
And really just kind of get into that. Maybe that's something worth talking about, getting into the depths and detail of all of those things that, you know, yeah. provide distraction.
Our obstacles mm-hmm. to our faith, to yeah. our trust in God, these things that are obstacles to our peace.
Yeah.
Right?
Because ultimately, going back to scripture, that's the root of the problem for that young rich ruler.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, and again.
Well, and I think one of the, you know, when you talk about what the difficulties are of being wealthy, well, if you have to protect your wealth, if your wealth, taking care of your wealth and storing your wealth ends up taking all your time, you're cut off from people. If you mm-hmm. lack generosity because you're a miser, that cuts you off from community.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rich people that find themselves very lonely in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's that whole idea of, you know, living in community with generosity and thankfulness for what we have, being able to share what we have with others,
yeah.
you know. And it's that kind of openness of spirit that we want to aspire to.
Yeah.
'Cause that's what brings in the kingdom of God.
Amen to
it's
that.
Community and fellowship, brothers and sisters living together in harmony in the kingdom of God.
Mm.
So tidy up your souls
mm-hmm.
during the season of Lent Absolutely. That we might be prepared for the coming of the King in resurrection.
If that's not good news, I don't know what is.
Amen.
Right? Amen to that. Well, hey, thank you all so much for spending your time with us here today. Another invaluable resource that we have, right, with us here on Faith Talk. We would like to thank our podcast composer, Sam Smithberger, and our technical administrator, Jessica Dennis. Now, you can subscribe to Faith Talk wherever you find your podcasts. Just search for Epiphany Lutheran Church and click subscribe. Join us next week as we continue our Lenten sermon series, Rabbi Jesus. We hope you enjoyed your time spent with us here today. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Till next time.